irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
We couldn't make this up. That's why Backtime is glad there were smart people who could, so we could explore the inventions and discoveries of October 10th. Bond. James Bond. The tuxedo dinner jacket made its debut at the Autumn Ball in Tuxedo Park, New York in 1886. Ready for a road trip? Pan American World Airways announced the beginning of a first global airline service today in 1959. And President Carter authorized the $1 Susan B. Anthony coin today in 1978, and I'm sure it seemed like a good idea at the time. It's back time for October 10th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's Vinnie Penn with your 760, the past 7 days in 60 seconds. O.J. Simpson is going to do jail time for his kidnapping and robbery conviction. Yep, it happened in Vegas, and he's staying in Vegas. Miley Cyrus celebrated her 16th birthday at Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, at least right up until her dad sang Achy Breaky Heart. One of Hugh Hefner's three girlfriends, Holly Madison, confirmed that she's not sleeping in the same bed with Hef. I guess she got tired of climbing over the safety rails. A reporter claims that the inside of Barack Obama's campaign jet has a nasty odor to it. He said it's even worse than that old man smell on the Straight Talk Express. On Dancing with the Stars this week, Cloris Leachman had her wig yanked off. That had to be humiliating. But not as humiliating as being an Olympic gold medalist who hurt herself doing the rumba. And the idiot of the week? Do you watch The View? Pick one. I'm Vinny Penn, and that was your 760.
McCain puts his father and son junkyard business into a blind trust. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Republican presidential nominee John McCain has been forced to put a junkyard he owns with his son Douglas into a blind trust until after the November election. Those close to McCain initially wrote off his presidential bid as just one more of his get-rich-quick schemes and were surprised by its success. We have a clip of the two McCains speaking before a live studio audience.
Stay out of this and let me take care of it. I'm the businessman. You're going to mess up the whole deal.
Shut up. McCain originally gained popularity in the 1970s for his gruff and stubborn maverick ways. His familiar habit of clutching his chest and yelling out the name of his first wife, Carol, was a hit with millions. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Shopping with the Wife on Football Sunday.
Mr. Shopping with the Wife on Football Sunday.
Sundays are days when men plop their behinds on the couch for hours and watch other men exert themselves on the gridiron. But no, not you. You're driving to Bed Bath & Beyond.
First and 10 with a new bath.
What happened to you, Mr. Shopping with a Wife on Football Sunday? How could you possibly let swearing about a game-changing holding penalty become holding her purse at the fashion bug?
15 yards for being a schmuck.
Sir, are you really that pee-whipped?
And pee doesn't stand for punt. Yeah.
So the next time you're depressed because your team lost the game on a missed field goal, think of the poor guy who missed the game altogether, subjected to hours of cute shoes and matching handbags. Mr. Shopping with a Wife on Football Sunday, a real American hero.
Mr. Shopping with a Wife on Football Sunday.
This throwback jersey doesn't make me look fat, does it?
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, Susie.
What day is it?
It is Friday, October 10th.
You can't mess up our routine. You've got to say that first, and then I get in.
That's true. But you always jump in, so I want to address you, first of all.
Thank you for acknowledging my presence.
And thank you for coming right on time. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I was getting ready to do the show myself. But
I almost sent you a text being like, don't you dare give me fucking death look when I walk in the door. I'm not in the mood for it right now.
Yeah. Well, I just figured you're back to your old ways now that you're accustomed to it. I'm not going to give you a hard time. I know sometimes these things happen. So
yes.
That's fine. We'll just shelf that and move on.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how was your day off yesterday?
Actually, it was really, really long, but really nice. Because the night before, I fell off the wagon.
Oh, no. You figured.
Told me I could.
Listen, I knew if you were late today, then it's because you've been drinking again.
No, it has. I actually didn't.
Well, but the days you haven't drunk, you've been here early.
That's because I can't sleep. I haven't been able to sleep at night. Last night, I had like 2 beers last night, yeah. So that doesn't count.
That's okay. I mean, I figured it would be a couple days. Look, I mean, the thing is that, yes, you've talked yourself into the fact that you can't sleep without it. And no, listen, this is a time at your life when you're enjoying this. So what the hell?
So stop giving me shit.
Okay, I'll stop giving you shit. You know, my voice is really weird today.
Stop smoking.
No, it's not that. I've been having a sore throat for 3 days now.
And you still smoke with
and
a sore throat.
It's really bad. Yeah.
You know what I do. You know what I used to do? You're going to be so grossed out. When I was a smoker and I would get a sore throat, I would stop smoking and I would chew mint skull. I became a dipper, a little redneck Susie over here. Pack a lipper in and... How gross is that?
Yeah.
I actually had a friend once upon a time like hop into my car and I would keep like a Pepsi soda can or a soda bottle right. like full of like dip spit on the floor of my car. And my guy friend hops in the car and he's like, oh, cool. Can I have a sip? And he opened it and he took a huge swig of it before he realized that it was not Pepsi. And oh my gosh, that's got to be the grossest thing in the world, like it's drinking someone else's spit.
Yeah. Oh my God. Do we have to talk about that?
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
So you should start
chewing tobacco.
Is that what I should do then?
Yes, it'll help.
Okay,
chew
tobacco. I'm sure that's going to help. Yeah, but you know, it kind of scares me. I mean, what if it's something permanent? You know, and all the stuff you've been saying is true. Like I'm going to have a hole in my throat.
Oh no!
And all that shit.
Have you been having nightmares because of me?
No, but but I got to thinking about it more. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough to get me to quit smoking, but...
That's all right. I'll keep pushing away or plugging away at you.
But, yeah, heading that way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... So did you enjoy the day off yesterday?
Well, I worked for 11 hours yesterday. I had a long work day. Yeah.
Wow.
So it wasn't really a day off.
Taking care of the baby or something?
Taking care of the 3-month-old.
Yeah.
So his parents took the 2-year-old to Disneyland. Uh-huh. So off they went to Disneyland, and I was left with the little baby.
Yeah.
You know, which sounds easy, but it's hard taking care of a baby.
Oh yeah.
And this one, I don't want to say he's colicky because he's getting better, but like he has to be on me at all times.
Really? Oh
yes.
My God, that's hard.
Very, very hard. And so, yeah. And I don't like him crying. When I was a little baby, my mom, like the neighbors would actually come over to the house because my mom would be sitting out by the pool, like suntanning, and they would hear me in the house screaming in my crib. They're like, Kathy, do you want us to go get the baby? My mom's like, nah, she's fine. They're like, but she's been screaming for 2 hours. Maybe she needs something. My mom's like, nah. So anytime a baby cries, I'm just like, oh, you poor thing. And I don't want to, I don't know. I'm traumatized from early on, I suppose.
Yeah. So according to Facebook, that's the sweetest, what'd you say, 3-month-old?
3-month-old ever. Yeah. Like he really is. I mean, so long as he's on me. But as soon as you try and like put him down to do anything, oh man.
You think so? You know what it could be? I mean, my daughter was like, when she was just born,
she would cry
all the time. All the time she would cry, and we didn't know what the hell was going on. And so we would give her like chamomile tea or something, and that would calm her down. And then we realized that she was not getting enough milk from the breastfeeding, and so she was hungry all the time.
Aww.
And we didn't even realize it. So it wasn't really the chamomile tea. It was more the fact that we gave her something. You
Poor
know?
Thing.
I know.
Oh,
and
you're
I remember
starving your little kid.
It's like every evening I'd have to put her in the back seat, in the car seat, and just drive around till she fell asleep, you know?
Aww.
I know. It's hard. It really is hard with babies.
Well, I was going to take his name's Bowie. He's so adorable. I was going to take little Bowie for a ride yesterday. But my car, like, it has too much shit in it to actually put his little car seat in it.
Yeah.
So his mom was like, yeah, take my car if you want to go for a ride. I'm like, all right. So I get the diaper bag all packed up. I get the formula packed up. You know, I get the gas drops. I get the diapers. You know, I got the baby Bjorn, the little thing, the strap-on. I call it the strap-on. Put it on, then you strap the baby to your chest.
Yeah.
I throw the kid in the car seat, and I get in the car. The car won't start.
Really?
I'm like, God damn it. And the kid's crying because he's not attached to me. And so he's like, wah, wah. And I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. So out we go, back into the house, you know, unpacking him, strapping him back onto me.
Wow.
So yes.
You sure you want to be a nanny?
I actually do love it. I really do.
Yeah.
But so yesterday was especially wonderful because as long as I had Bowie on me, I was able to watch all the new 90210s that I haven't seen that they TiVo'd.
Oh.
all the Gossip Girls that I haven't seen, Privileged, my soap opera. I basically had like an 11-hour...
So you caught up with all your TV.
I should have been doing statistics, but... But you can't do stats with like with no hands.
No, seriously. Can't. Especially with a baby crying in the background.
And the baby, I've got a, like, I don't know, I keep my fingers stuck in his mouth. He's got a big oral fixation. I'm telling you, like, even though it's like a young child, there's still something just sexual about having your fingers sucked on.
That's true.
I mean, it's pretty funny.
I know. It is weird, you know.
It definitely
is. It
is
weird to let a baby suck your thumb or your finger.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He's going to be a lady killer, I tell you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was my day off. So are you written in the book, the good book or whatever? Did you atone?
I repent, sinner! I definitely did not. In fact, I even worked, you know. And I was wondering why we even missed the day here, you know. I mean, the show, because I ended up working anyway and eating and smoking.
You ate anyway?
Yeah.
Sam!
No, listen, I realized, you know what? I know why I can't do this anymore. Because, I mean, I was raised...
as big of a cheater as I am.
Yeah, but there's a difference, you know. I just don't subscribe to these ancient customs anymore.
Neither do I.
What do you mean? What does that have to do with anything?
I don't subscribe to these ancient customs of like monogamy. It's bullshit.
But you were talking about drinking, no?
Oh no, I was talking about monogamy.
Oh, you okay?
Or drinking? I mean, drinking. Yeah. Yes, carry on, dear.
So I couldn't. So I just, you know, I feel that I can't really do this anymore. I mean, you know, I was raised with, like, you don't turn on any lights. You don't do anything pleasurable at all. You're not supposed to do anything pleasurable.
Well, you're supposed to, like, sacrifice everything, like, for God or something.
Or
aren't you?
No, it's sort of like to get your...
clear your mind.
It is sort of a sacrifice, you know, because you're sacrificing... You're denying your body what it wants. That's pretty much it, you know?
It's like when people fast or when they meditate.
Right.
To try and achieve a different spiritual level.
Probably, or something like
you're
that.
You're just helpless.
Yeah. I don't know, but people come up with all this bullshit, you know, and I was raised with that. And then I realized, this doesn't apply to me anymore. I really don't subscribe to religion... per se, you know. I mean, I'm a big believer in God, or like, you know, this huge power, but not the man-made religion thing. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't fit with me anymore. You know, it's like all these things you're thinking about, and they were made in order to rein people in,
keep people in line.
Yeah. You know, and. It's just not. It's not for me, you know. It's nice as a tradition, but I don't even have the kids at home. So who am I going to set example to?
I know your son was funny. I sent him a Facebook message. I was like, atone for your sins, repent, sinner. And he was like, what? Why? And I was like, oh my God, never mind. And then he's like, oh wait, I get it. He's too cute.
Yeah, I know. So, but that's another thing. You're not supposed to be on the computer. You're not supposed to do anything you normally do.
I know, and I noticed both of you were.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're on Facebook all the time, aren't you?
Well, now that I have, I have it on my phone. Mm-hmm. So anytime I get a message on it, I could just log on. Or if I'm driving and stuck in traffic and I'm bored, I can check status updates, or I can update my own status. So I mean, kind of. But it's just because I'm usually stuck somewhere and I just have it there and it's available.
But it's addictive, you know? It's really addictive, you get into
that. I've started to get re-addicted to it. I went through a long period of time where I was unaddicted, but now I'm re-addicted again.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so weird. It just kind of, it could take over your life. I mean, yesterday, like when I was nannying, like I had the TV on, then I had my boss's computer like on my lap with the baby in the arm, and it was like Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. And then I realized, I'm just like, this is insane. And then I didn't realize how insane it was until the internet stopped working. And then I was like, God damn it, start working again. I'm like, what's going on here? And I just freaked out and like lost it that I couldn't continue my Facebook marathon.
Oh.
And then or my affair. I'll call it an affair.
And then you put a picture of your cat on there.
I'm trying.
Why?
I'm trying to get my pussies adopted.
Yeah.
So people are all seeing the pictures and they're like, oh my gosh, they're so cute. And I'm like, well, if it's so cute.
That's a good idea.
Why don't you take it home?
Yeah, that's a good approach.
Yep.
Sort of advertising.
Yes, I'm definitely advertising my pussies out there.
Where else do you usually find homes for them?
So far, just when people meet them, they just fall in love with them because they're just so goddamn cute.
But how do people meet them? Do you take them out?
No, I don't really take them out. People can either just come over to my house. Like I have friends come over and then they fall in love with them.
I see.
But I haven't had a lot of new friends over at my new house. You know, just I'm trying to respect, you know, that it's a shared house now, and that I don't have people trolloping through at all hours of the day and night. But also they do adoption events, like on the boardwalk. The animal shelter will go and have like a whole block,
right?
And you know, just be like, oh, look at these cute kitties.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. All you have to do, like sometimes on Montana in Santa Monica, there's people with little cages with dogs and cats all the time. I don't know why they pick that area, but. Maybe because there's a lot of people walking there.
A lot of people walking there.
But you might want to consider that, you know. Also, Craigslist, I guess, would work, you know.
Well, the thing is, they're not legally my cats.
Right.
So I don't want to just go and pick some random stranger because I can't, I can't legally adopt them out. They have to go through the animal shelter.
Oh, okay.
So these are not my cats. These are like foster children.
Right.
So I'm just taking care of them. Until... Okay,
but you're not authorized to give them to someone else?
No.
Oh, I see.
Actually, there was a huge thing all over the news, probably a couple of months ago. Ellen, you know, the Ellen DeGeneres show? So she adopted some dog that needed to be rescued, and she gave it to like some sick kid or something. And all of a sudden, the animal shelter found out, and they went after Ellen, and they took the dog back from the sick kid.
Right, I remember that. Wow. But my question is, let's say you do find a stranger or something.
Yep, then, and they want my cat.
Right, so then they just go through the shelter.
Then I would bring them to the shelter and do it that way.
Yeah, so you can still do it.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
But it's kind of dangerous, and it gets a little bit sneaky, because I kind of illegally... fostered or sent out one of my foster kitties to a mom that I knew was going to adopt her or that really wanted her. And then for two months, you know, this cat should have been adopted a long time ago, and the cat's like illegally with someone else. And so by the time I actually got the cat adopted, and this was just last weekend, you know, it was all secretive. We had to meet at the Starbucks down the street, and we had to like exchange the cat carrier in the car. And it was like, okay, pretend I've had the cat for this whole 2 months. And so we walk into the place, and the, you know, the foster woman's like, oh, you know, oh, thank you so much for fostering. And I'm like, it's so hard to see my baby go. You know, as they take my kitty away. So it turns into like this whole drama, because I can get like charges pressed against me for being neglectful, I guess.
I suppose.
Isn't that crazy?
Talking about that. Okay,
what happened?
I have jury duty, right, all week. And I've been calling every day, and they tell me not to come. And last night I call, and it says be there at 7:30.
Today?
Downtown today.
Oh, no.
And I mean, this is a Friday. By Friday, you figure they're not going to call you.
Yeah.
You know? So I thought, there's no way I can do this. You know, so I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, do they jail you, or do they take you to court, or do they just reschedule you again? What do they do? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. Sam?
Yeah. Well, what?
This is not good.
I have a fucking radio station to run. You know, if they're not
so
gonna,
other people have things to do too.
Look, but the thing is, the whole thing is just about inconveniencing me. So I'll go there, and then they'll dismiss me after 5 minutes because... you know, for some
it's
reason, they'll find
it's your duty as an American citizen.
Absolutely,
to go.
And I'll do it.
When?
I'll do it. You know how many people get
they
out of
they don't have jury duty on Saturdays and Sundays or whenever?
No, they don't.
When will you do it?
Well, I guess they'll ask me again to come.
And when will you not have a radio show to run?
No, I always will. But what I'm saying is they made me wait all week, and I didn't really plan on it. So.
Well, no one plans on jury duty.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, we have guests, we have this, we have that. No, that's it's pointless. Yeah, but I'm gonna have to suffer the consequences. Whatever.
You're gonna go to jail.
Yeah, I hope they don't fucking jail me. But you know what? You have to think about it. I'll bet you a lot of people don't show up or whatever. I don't hear of people going to jail because of jury duty. I mean, maybe if you abuse
maybe they'll
it a
give
few
you a
times.
Ticket.
I don't know what they're gonna do.
I would say
maybe
that.
They can fine you, or something.
I wonder how much that would be.
I don't know.
I'll be interested to find out.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. I don't want to find out.
Speaking of fines and things like that, the last day we were here on Wednesday, you know the dude who poked his head in here that you wanted to run out after?
Yes.
Did he talk to you?
No.
The Armenian dude?
No.
He's the parking guy, I guess.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah, and he told me to park on the street from now on.
Why?
Because it just gets too hectic. And he said he's going to pay for my meter.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Oh, yeah, I heard him say that. But you know why? Because he wants to free up more spaces. I've decided, you know, now they tell us we only have two and not three. And this whole parking lot, people have to understand, we have like a salon spa downstairs. And the parking lot in the back is not that big. But so they have a valet guy to sort of arrange the cars stacked and everything. And it becomes a mess here.
You know,
at least give me access to my two friggin' spaces and don't use them, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure, I don't care how packed this friggin' parking lot is, don't park in our spots and don't block us either. You know, I mean, he comes to me and he wanted my key. I said, what the hell do you need my key for? I'm parked in the front.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm not blocking anybody. So, you know, they always create, and you know what? I've always had problem with valet people. I just can't stand them.
Why?
Because they, you know, you pull up and they feel like they own your fucking car. You know, they open your fucking door. Did you ever see how they drive?
They open your door for you. They're trying to be nice.
Yeah, but before you're even ready to get out of the car, that really irritates me. They just stay in there. You know?
If they don't do it fast enough, I get annoyed. No. I don't want to sit there.
Yeah, I don't know. But they've got attitudes and they drive your car like crazy and I'm just not interested.
I've always wanted to be a valet girl. Yeah. They've got this valet company. It's like Hot Valet Girls
valet
or something.
Girl. Yeah.
Or, no, it's called Valley Girls.
Valley Girls.
Yes,
okay.
Only it's called like V-A-L-E-T Girls.
Uh-huh.
Like Valley Girls.
Yeah.
And they dress in like these really cute little sexy outfits and they get hired to go to like, you know, parties at like
right.
huge places. But how fun? How much fun would that be to like just drive all those cars?
Why would that be fun?
I don't know.
You have to constantly run to the car. And
it's
shit,
great exercise.
You know? If you do this during the day and it's hot.
I would never do it during the day.
Yeah.
And only for like certain events. I think maybe I'll get a job doing that part-time at night too now.
Okay.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. I don't see the fun in it, but hey, you know.
You get a lot of tips. You get to meet cool people. You get to drive fun cars.
Yeah.
Really quick, a little valet story for you. I was in Colorado with my best girlfriend from boarding school, and she had a Land Rover, and she never drove, so she just sucked at driving. She's one of those people that just should not be behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, like, Jewish women in SUVs, like, not going to... Oh, God. There should be a law against it.
What does it have to do with Jewishness?
I don't know, but for some reason, a lot of Jewish women just drive these huge SUVs, and it's like, why? Why do you need this big fucking car that you can't even see the back end of it, lady?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, to go get your mani-pedi, please.
I know. I that really irritates me. I hate SUVs because you can't see ahead of them, you know?
You can't see it? No.
No. And they drive, you're right, they drive like crazy because I think they're overconfident, and they drive those big Expeditions and Suburbans and stuff. And it's, yeah, I mean, they drive like shit. And then a phone in their hand.
Yep.
And my God.
And they're usually,
you know,
like, they're usually like this petite little thing that probably needs to get like boosted up into the seat in the first place.
There you go, you know. And you have to find, you know, I think it comes from insecurity or something. You know, I think people feel like, hey, I'm higher than everyone. No one can touch me. I have a tough car.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't know. Because otherwise, I can't explain it. Like you said, it's not like they have kids. They don't have a family. They just have to drive something big.
I know. It pisses me right off. But so anyway, my girlfriend, this is the last time I ever let her drive me. From then on out, I was like her driver. And, you know, I'm pretty aggressive, but whatever. I get the shit. I get shit done. So we pull up to this really fancy restaurant in Denver, and she's driving the Land Rover. And so we're dressed up in the nines, you know, to the nines, and we've got like our heels on and our makeup done. Yeah. And all of a sudden, we hop out of the car, and she forgot to put the car in park. So the car just starts going down the hill. The valet guy had to take off running after her car, like right before it, like almost, it came like within an inch or two of like smashing into some other car.
Really?
Because she just left it in drive and hopped out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
So that poor valet guy, you know, and look how stupid both of us looked. We're just like, la la la, we look fabulous. Oh yes, we're here to have a fabulous dinner. Oh fuck, there goes our car rolling down the hill.
Yeah.
It's like, how blonde and dumb can we both look? Seriously. But shit happens, you know?
Yeah. So I got a new iPhone yesterday.
Oh.
And I had the original one.
Yeah.
And then I went back and bought one and got $400 back.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm confused.
Let me explain that to you. The original iPhones cost $400.
Yes.
The new ones cost $200.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Now, the original ones, yeah, they're twice as fast and they cost half the price. So I've wanted one. You know, because it is faster with internet and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then this, apparently the original ones you can hack.
And
you can crack them. In other words, you can hack into the phone so then you can use any carrier other than AT&T.
You sold it behind like the building black market?
No, not like that at all. But there are people that are in the market for original phones. Mine was like in brand new condition. I still have the box and everything. And the guy's like, yeah, you know. And it's not behind an alley or anything. It was through friends, you know. So, I mean, there's nothing illegal about it. The guy wants to buy your phone. Let him buy your phone.
He bought it for $400 though?
Yeah.
He paid full price for a used cell phone?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No one's going to pay $400 for a used phone.
But they do, because then they can do whatever they want with it. You see, they can put whatever software they want. They can use a different carrier, you see. So, I mean, I don't know why they do this, but they do, Susie. I mean,
and this is a friend of yours?
There's a lot of people. No, it's a friend of a friend.
Okay. You know?
So they sort of, So you get $400, you go buy a new iPhone, and you still have $200 left.
So you're taking me out for lunch is what you're saying.
I suppose, yeah.
Not today, but I'm going to rain check it. I have to go to the zoo today.
To the zoo? Really?
Yeah.
With the kids?
With little Ethan.
Yeah. Well, it's a good day. It's not too hot outside.
I know. I'm so excited. I love the zoo.
I know.
We were supposed to go last week, and then his mom like ended up canceling me last Friday because she had a doctor's appointment in Long Beach. And I was so pissed. Yeah. Like, my whole weekend was just ruined because I was like, I wanted to go to the zoo.
But the LA Zoo kind of sucks, you know? I don't know.
Don't tell me that. I've never been.
No, I mean, you'll probably like it then. You probably haven't been to a zoo in a long time.
I was at the one in Santa Barbara like 6 months ago.
Oh, okay. So you like zoos.
I like zoos. They're really fun.
No, then you'll enjoy it. I mean, they have the usual animals, you know, so.
It's just fun going with a kid, you know. It's so refreshing see when they're like, ooh, look at the gorilla. And it's like, ooh, ooh, ah, you know. And then the kid just is so excited about it. I love it.
I know. It's really cool. Kids are great, you know. You take him to Disneyland the first time. Or to Legoland or something.
I want to go to Legoland.
You should. You'll enjoy it too.
What the heck is that place like? Is it just Legos everywhere?
It's a theme park. But yes, a lot of the stuff is made of Legos. And like sculptures or so-called sculptures and stuff.
They have rides?
They have miniature cities like New York and San Francisco. And
what a fun job. Yeah, like just
and it's all,
being a Lego maker or a Lego builder all day.
And you can go and walk around and you can see where they actually make them.
Oh, how much
fun. It's really cool. It is.
I was really into those when I was a kid. I would just have all like the sets and I would just sit and build my Lego.
I know. There's so much fun, you know. And you'll see things that you never imagined could be made out of Legos, you know.
Like what, Sam?
No, like you know how usually with Lego you associate it with
blocks?
With right angles and stuff, you know.
They'll make like circles or spheres.
So they make like circles and curves and all that stuff, which is really hard to do, you know?
I think I remember stuff like that from FAO Schwartz when I was a little girl, like seeing crazy things like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. But these are not like specially made Legos. I mean, they're standard.
The regular?
Yeah, standard Legos, you know?
Standard issue.
Yeah, standard issue. So, yeah, it's really cool. I mean, the kids will like it there.
I don't care about the kids. I care about me.
Okay. You like it too.
I'm just kidding.
I haven't been there in years, but since the kids were small. And they had just opened it too, I remember. A few years back. And it's pretty nice. It's a cool place.
Very nice.
And, you know, every time you want to cut through, cut in line and stuff, get to the front, walk.
Sam!
When you walk in, get like a boot or something from your doctor. You know, those boots they put on your foot. And then just go there and you'll get a pass. No, because I've...
You're such an asshole.
Why am I a fucking asshole?
You...
I mean, there's big lines there. No, but the thing
everyone has to wait in the line. What makes you special? You got a boot.
Listen, I found it by accident because when my daughter was little, when we went there, she had a boot, you know, because she had some problems with her foot. So we go there and they give us like a pass, you know, to the front of the line. So since then, we figured, wow, this is nice. But these days, you can actually pay and get a pass.
Those fucking speed passes. I get so pissed off. Like, if I go to Six Flags, you know, I've got my pass just like everyone else to Six Flags. And all of a sudden, I go in. And people that, you know, way to be, like, discriminatory against the poor people. The rich people can just go straight to the front of the line. They don't have to wait.
Well, you don't go to those theme parks without money. You've got to have a lot of money. Just to get in is what, 50, 60 bucks these days?
Yep.
You know? And then all the shit you spend inside?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need a lot of money. You take a family, man, that's $500, $600.
I know, it's ridiculous.
It is.
They have got a lot of these promotional things going on. I took Tucker to Six Flags a couple
You're
months.
You're awful. And I'm the asshole. Okay.
No, okay, I'm going to tell you my most asshole thing. Uh-huh. Let me just tell you this. I took Fucker to Six Flags, and then they had, you know, if you buy a pass today, like just a one-day pass, you know, and you want to have a year-long pass, come in and we'll take your picture and we'll put it on a little card and you'll have your year-long pass.
Right.
So now I have a year-long pass at Six Flags for the admission price of just one.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah. You know, and then they give you a coupon book for like, bring your friend for half price. So then my friend can only come, you know, for half price or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so it's back to being awful. You know how I have my oldest sister severely retarded.
Yes.
And she lives in a group home. You know, she can walk, but it's kind of a laborious, slow walk.
Yeah.
But back when we were little, we would take her, you know, with us to Six Flags or, I don't know, all those different amusement parks. Mm-hmm. And because she would walk so slowly, I got very impatient. I'm like, all right, throw her in a wheelchair. Let's go. So I threw her in a wheelchair. We got to go straight to the front of every single roller coaster. Every single one. It was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
But a lot of, you know, she's got not really the best heart in the world.
Yeah.
It's kind of fragile. And so you know how if you're not like in top-notch condition, you're not supposed to go on these rides?
Yeah.
I'm like, hell no, we're going on all the rides. And once you get up to the front and they get you loaded onto the ride,
right.
If you're a person with a disability, mm-hmm. you can go as many times as you want.
Oh, yeah?
They won't even take you off the ride after you're done.
Wow.
They'll let you go like five times in a row.
Cool.
So my sister's good. Sitting there having a heart attack strapped yeah. into the roller coaster. And I'm like, woohoo! I'm like, here we go. So that was my asshole thing with regards to your boot.
That's terrible.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So I tell you, I don't know if I told you this, but I was talking to people in my biology class the other day. My professor wants to listen. Hi, Professor Cassano. actually, this radio show kind of became the topic of the class because I gave out my cards to everyone in the class, and about half the class started listening to the show.
Really?
And, you know, a lot of them are younger than me, and so they're not, I don't know, as seasoned, sexually speaking, I would say, as you and I. Don't die on me
sorry,
over there.
Sorry, sorry. I'm sick, listen.
I know. Don't get me sick. I'll kill you.
No, I won't.
Because if I'm sick, I'm not coming in.
Yeah, but I came into work.
I know, okay. But if that's why I'm saying, if you get me sick, I'm not coming in.
Oh, well, I'll come and get you.
Okay. I'll broadcast live from my bed.
Okay.
Now that we know I can do that. But yeah, so all the kids from my class are now listening to the show, and they're horrified.
Why?
Because before I was like, oh, I've got this radio show, and they're like, oh, cool. And my friend Gary was like, I got things to say. He's like, I'm cool. Let me be on your show. And I was like, okay, absolutely. And then he came in on Wednesday, and he's like, dude, I am not coming on your show. I'm so freaking afraid of what you and Sam are going to like say to me. And
why?
Oh, no, what are you going to do? And I was like, oh, my God, like, we're totally going to be fine. Like, we would not be mean to anyone. We
no,
respect
we never
our guests.
Are. We never are mean to anyone.
No, definitely not.
No, I mean, why would we?
Well, sometimes we're a little rough.
Yeah.
A little abrasive.
No, I don't think so.
A little sand in the vagina. No. Not so comfortable.
Yeah. We got a great guest coming in about half an hour. And he's
ooh,
just
the
from
he?
The picture. Yeah, just from the picture, he's a pretty tough guy. Yeah, he does something really interesting. I'm gonna tease that, but you'll find out.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, you don't need to know in advance.
All right.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of guests coming up. I mean, next week our shows are just gonna be, you know, packed with guests and all kinds of stuff. You know,
wow.
I started to get a lot of new authors or authors of new books and stuff.
Cool.
And some really cool books, you know. I mean, some really interesting stuff. So
make sure you give them the right phone number, right
yeah,
date and time.
Exactly.
Yada, yada.
Actually, I arranged it now so we will call them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So now we'll be sure to get them.
You know? Oh, that's perfect. That's good.
Yeah.
And that's I have a friend, my friend Josh Jacobson, that I would like to bring in at some point, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's an actor out here, and he actually might be a good person to have his own show at the station.
Mm.
So I would really like to bring him in. So tell me what day you would like, and I will do that.
You can bring him in whenever.
Okay. Well, I want it to be on a day when it's not like so packed full of guests so that, you know, he can kind of like, I don't know.
Okay. So now I know. I'll pencil him in.
Okay. Pen him in.
Yeah. So you drank Tuesday night?
No, Wednesday night. Because
night.
After biology class, actually bio class was cool on Wednesday. We were doing DNA fingerprinting.
Really?
Yeah. So I felt like I was in a real like CSI Los Angeles crime lab as we're doing the DNA fingerprinting of like some bacteria. But but yeah, so, oh, and you know what? I also, okay. Do you know who Ted Nugent is?
Ted Nugent.
Nugent?
Yes.
Why am I the only one?
He's a rocker.
How do you know who he is?
Because he used to have a song, Scratch Cat Fever. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Cat Scratch Fever.
Oh, he wrote that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the only song I remember of him. But he's weird, and he's a pro, I don't know, he's like
pro-guns.
Pro-guns, and yeah.
I learned all of this in biology class on Wednesday.
Why?
Just from my lab partner is this girl, Ariel. She's really cool. She's kind of spunky like me and just kind of very quirky. Mm-hmm. But so she's got these like odd tattoos. And then she made a comment. We're like, what other tattoos do you have? She's like, property of Ted Nugent on my ass. And I was like, what? And so she totally took her pants off and like showed the entire biology class that she had this tattoo at her ass.
Whoa.
And it's huge too.
Really?
So she was on his reality show, I guess. And that was one of like the dares.
I see.
Like, would you tattoo this on your ass?
Really?
So her boyfriend, imagine her poor boyfriend every time he's like fucking her from behind and he just sees like property of Ted. Oh yeah, property of Ted. Oh baby, right there. I would just spank it the whole time.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I know. I don't know what it is with those tattoos, especially on the back, you know?
Well, I mean, on the back in the middle, it's a tramp stamp.
Okay, so women do this specifically so guys will see it when they do them from behind.
I don't think it's specific for anything. I mean, I've got a frog tattoo on my back, and I...
Yeah, but it's on your back, but it's not, like, right in the middle...
it's not a tramp
stamp.
On top
of the crack, yeah.
No.
Is that what they call it, a tramp stamp?
That's what I've named it.
I see, okay. Okay,
because,
so...
Yeah, I don't know. Those girls usually wear, like, the really low-cut jeans, and then, like... And then they always wear, like, the high shirt, and so, like, you could see it. So it's just like, okay, she's a tramp.
Yeah.
Tramp stamp.
I know. But I don't see the point in doing a tattoo like this, because you can't even see it, you know? I mean, so how do you really enjoy it? I don't know.
Yeah. But she also has another awesome one. She literally, like, had her pants off in the classroom, but the professor is like, oh, my God.
Really?
I'm trying to convince him. You know, he's getting very excited about the fact that no one wants to learn biology. Because I'm sitting there just talking about sex and this and, you know.
Well, that's biology.
I know. Yeah. Well, we weren't doing the chapter on reproduction. But, you know, he's trying to, like, sit there and, like, he's got the syringe and he's trying to inject it. And he's like, did I get it in? Get it in? Oh, I'm like, just the tip. You just the tip over. Okay. Oh, good. And he's like, is it in? I was like, that's what she said. And so the whole class.
You told this to the teacher?
This is what I do nonstop in class.
Yeah.
I'm just like a running commentary of like, you know, look at me, Susie, just and so finally he finally just stopped freaking out. And I was like, Professor, look, none of us are biology majors. None of us really care. I was like, so stop trying to make us learn and let's just fucking have fun for these 3 hours, like every Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
And he finally was just like, you know what? Why not? Do what you want. Which point the class goes wild. We're swinging from the ceiling fans and taking off our clothes. But Ariel's other tattoo, she's got a ring of fire as a garter belt on her thigh. And it's got like a fallen angel like falling into the ring of fire. I thought that's just oh so appropriate.
I suppose. I don't know. I don't know what kind of a tattoo I would get. But I never will.
Really?
Yeah. Never in a million years. I just think they're ugly.
Well, then you can't be buried in the cemetery.
Not
that you care.
You mean if I don't get it?
No, yeah, if you do get a tattoo.
If I do get it.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, what about the Jews?
I think that's bullshit.
What about the Jews back like during the Holocaust that survived the Holocaust?
No, I think they were exempt. Bullshit. Probably, yeah. But I think it's bullshit. I don't think you don't get to be buried in a Jewish cemetery because you have a tattoo.
I think in this day and age that would just be ludicrous if they even tried to do that.
I can't imagine. No. Mm. Yeah. I mean, I can understand if you kill somebody, you know.
If you kill someone, you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery?
I don't know if you can, but I know for some kind of transgression you do.
Hmm.
You know? I don't know what. I can't remember. I think committing suicide.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they will
that's
bury
a bad
you outside.
One.
Yeah.
I think that's in all religions.
Probably.
Like most religions.
Yeah.
It's just considered like the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, it is, you know, because you're given a gift and you're taking it away, you know.
Mm.
And but you know what? I've been down so low in my life that, you know, I was thinking that too. I mean, I never...
Really?
I knew in the back of my mind I would never do it because I was chicken. But there were times when I just wanted to do away with everything.
I think everyone has had those thoughts.
Well, I don't know. Some people have it worse than others, you know. I mean... yeah, I mean, there's just some really depressed people, and I feel you can't really judge them until you're in their shoes. You know, if they feel so desperate and there's nobody there to help, then you can understand them. you know? But it is a very selfish thing to do.
I know. I had one of my best girlfriends for a long time. Sorry, everyone. This is like a downer show right now.
No, I mean, we talk about anything, you know?
I know. What the hell? This is one of my best friends for a long time. And, you know, she just had a host of problems. It would be like one year it would be like a ridiculous eating disorder and she'd be ridiculously skinny. Another time, like, she was like the RA at her dorm. And she just got so depressed that she like ate a bunch of pills and like swallowed or chased it with a bottle of vodka, you know, and was like admitted to the psych ward for trying to kill herself. But she was always cutting herself on her arms.
Oh, wow.
Really, really freaked me out. Because, like, I'm not a big blood person at all. It just kind of, I'm already screaming in the chair right now. You know, if I'm babysitting and someone, like, cuts themselves or hurts themselves, I'll go into nanny mode. Super nanny, da-da-da-da. And it's like, then it's fine. But to purposely do that to yourself just really freaks me out.
Yeah.
And she would go deep. And just her arms were just ridiculously just marred.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there were days that she would come to visit me and, like, you know, her boyfriend would break up with her or something. And I would find her, like, passed out in the bathroom floor, like, with the door locked. I'd have to, like, kick the door down with, like, maxi pads, like, rubber banded to her arms.
Really?
Like, just serious.
Was it, like, all bloody and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's terrible. You see, that's why I'm saying it's selfish, because then others have to pick it up, you know?
I know.
All the mess. You know, you're leaving a big mess behind you, emotional, physical, whatever. You know, but it's, and that's why I think everybody views it as such a terrible thing, you know, because, and especially where there's help today, you know, I mean, all you have to do is reach out.
There's a band called Insane Clown Posse.
Yes, I've heard of them.
Oh my God, they're awful. But one of their songs, it's like, the guy calls like the helpline, it's like, you know, hello, guy's like, I don't think I want to live anymore. And then the guy in the helpline, who's like one of the Insane Clown Posse people, is like, oh my God, bah, 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 bah. And then he's like, why not? He's like, why don't you call your mom? Stupid bitch. And then he just keeps saying that, you know, call her a crazy bitch for fucking having you, and just goes off on the poor guy. And like, eventually you hear the guy like pull the trigger, and the guy in the helpline's like, hello, hello, hello. And the other guy who, you know, pulled the fake trigger was like, hello. And he's like, I knew you were a crazy bitch and you wouldn't do it. Because he's like yelling at him to like, do it, fucker. And it's like, sometimes, like, I don't know, people are just insane with that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's very sad, you know.
It really is.
Especially when it's kids, teenagers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a waste.
Got their whole life ahead of them.
Yeah. It's such a waste. Okay. Well, let's take a happy break.
Happy break.
Okay. And we'll be back right after this.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
For those who are looking for an automobile for their teenagers that represents the ultimate combination of style, performance, and safety, look no further than the all-new 2009 Ford Bummer, the first vehicle of its kind that allows parents total control over the teen driving experience. The Ford Bummer restricts acceleration to one half the current speed limit, so you can race, but you will lose. There's also control over the radio, keeping it set firmly on the local AM conservative news talk station. Plus, if the bummer senses the car is in park and there's a steady increase in body heat, it will play Amazing Grace to instantly spoil any mood. Finally, until the driver is buckled in securely, the car will blare a sarcastic warning worthy of any parent, such as, who are you, Tony Stewart? Even Tony Stewart buckles up, you moron. The 2009 Ford Bummer. Don't make us stop the car.
You're locked in to LA Talk Radio, the home of irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk.
This is George Takei, and I am truly excited to have Sam and Susie in the Morning on my internet radio. Those two are a hoot. I swear if I was heterosexual, I'd ask Susie out on a date. Of course, I'm homosexual, so I'll be asking Sam out instead. Oh my. And now let's get back to Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you, George Takei. And that song was, of course, by Joe Kimberly, a British singer that was here a couple days ago.
On Wednesday. No, on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
Yeah.
And a very nice singer. So
I'm reading the tabloids over here.
Okay.
And apparently, Jamie Lynn Spears is pregnant again.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
PerezHilton.com says so. It must be true.
Wow.
She only had that baby like 5 months ago,
what
baby Maddie.
What the fuck is wrong with her?
Yeah. And apparently like a family member like sold this information, I don't know, to some tabloid.
Wow.
It's not definite yet, yeah. But that's a new rumor.
Isn't she married now, though?
No, she's only 17.
Oh, they haven't... So what? But she could be married.
Can you get married at 17?
Of course.
I thought it was 18.
No. With parents' permission, you can get married at any age.
I don't think she got married.
Yeah. No.
Definitely not.
I thought she was going to because of the reaction that people had to her pregnancy.
No, I think that's Sarah Palin's daughter.
No. But, yeah, I mean,
no,
this is
because
like,
her boyfriend was cheating on her and, like, you know, caught with someone else, and you don't want to marry someone at that point.
No. But this is ridiculous.
I know.
What the hell, man?
It's not definite yet, but that's what the PerezHilton.com says.
Perez Hilton. Who is he anyway? I mean, what, he's this gay guy, right?
You know, like, I don't actually
He's got a blog, PerezHilton.com or something. Came out of nowhere. Half the people think that people refer to Paris Hilton when they talk about him. And
no relation whatsoever.
No, none at all. But he's become like he's got a blog and he's become pretty prominent out there. And people, I guess, listen to what he has to say.
I found out about it from my evil Canadian twin, Rochelle.
Uh-huh.
We just get into nothing but trouble. And every time I'm with her, I just do bad things. But
no,
really,
you?
I'm usually pretty good. It's other people that make me do the bad things. I'm just weak and I succumb to the peer pressure. But she's the one that introduced me to the PerezHilton.com.
Uh-huh.
And now, yeah, she's pretty much addicted to it. Save your money from buying like the tabloids and just read this trash.
Yeah. Plenty of trash out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the way, there's several movies starting today, which I don't know any of them except...
Beverly Hills Chihuahua?
Is that... Did that start yet? That started last week. You know what? It made a lot of money, too.
No way.
It was a number one last week.
I don't believe
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and I remember I was going to tell you, and I thought, Susie's going to freak out.
I was watching a commercial for it yesterday, and it actually looked kind of cute.
Yeah?
I'll give you that. I was thinking...
Look, you like animals. You're going to love it.
Well, I know. I just don't like stupid movies like that.
I know. I don't either. But, you know, just for the chihuahuas.
The fact that you like chihuahuas is even funnier, too.
I know. It is, huh?
Men that look like small dogs, it's just something funny about it.
No, it just means we're secure in our sexuality. We don't need that big dog to impress.
Exactly.
There you go. And but the movie Body of Lies is starting today. And to those who didn't hear, we had an interview, was it Monday or last week? You can look in our archives with David Ignatius, who wrote the book on which the movie is based. And I'm definitely going to go check that out.
Cool.
It sounds like a really cool spy movie and, you know, infiltrating Al-Qaeda and stuff. So it sounds pretty good with Russell Crowe and Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio. Who I think
not Da Vinci.
I know. Well, it's like when you called whatchamacallit? Who's running for president? McCain.
Yeah.
You called him like George McCain. That was funny.
I did. Huh?
I've gotten some feedback on that. George McCain. They're like, whoa.
Well, you gotta. Well, tell the people who gave you feedback that when you sit here 2 hours every day, you're bound to say things.
I know.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's just shit going through your head all the time. You know. I wouldn't even. Thought twice about it. I mean, people make these mistakes
George
all the time.
McCain.
Yeah. It's not like I don't know what the hell his name is, but, you know, it just comes out. So, besides, you know what? Fuck all the people that send responses. I don't give a shit. You know, like, what's his name? Your friend Steve from St. Louis.
Yes.
He doesn't want me to tell you fuck you.
He doesn't want you to say fuck you to me?
Yeah, to you.
Oh, no, really?
And and he thinks I was being rude to him. So.
Well, you did hang up on him.
Because we couldn't hear him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he may as well have been disconnected.
Actually, can I tell you something funny? So he sent me a link to the PG porn that he was talking about.
Yeah.
And I was in the library at school, and, you know, the library or the computers at school, they have a lot of, like, restrictions on them.
Right.
You obviously can't go to, like, a triple X-rated site. Right. And if you try to even go to one of these sites, like, you get your username gets blocked. And, like, there are repercussions.
Really?
Yes.
And they know you tried to access that site,
because, like, you have to sign on with, like, your student ID number and everything. Mm. So I could actually go to PG porn on the school computers.
Yeah.
It was this one about some a construction guy nailing your wife, quote-unquote nailing, and he's got the nail gun, and he's standing there, and, like, the nail gun is very symbolic for, you know, what's in his pants and everything else. And then the wife, like, comes in, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Construction Man. I didn't know you were working. I thought you were on your lunch break, as he's standing there with his nail gun.
Sounds really stupid.
It was. Well, it's like the beginning of all pornography. It's all fucking stupid. I hate the stories. It's like, you know what? Cut the shit. Let's just get to the straight sex.
So, but it's not pornography, or is it? So it's pornography, but PG. So in other words, they don't take off their clothes. They
and there's
don't
no
fuck.
Sex.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, insinuations of sex.
So it's the worst part of pornography, which is why it's just like really amusing.
Yeah. That's pretty much like eating a veggie burger, you know? I mean, a burger is meat, you know?
So yeah.
Porn is rated X, not PG.
But I don't know. The concept of PG porn just sounds funny.
I suppose.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was amused by it.
Were you?
Yes. I was going to say, I was at a coffee shop the other day, and they had this chickenless chicken salad. I was like, well, what the fuck is in it? And I'm sitting there, like, talking to my friend Benji. It was his 21st birthday, and I took him out for lunch. And I'm like, chickenless chicken? I'm like, that sounds awful. I'm like, you know, I want some fucking chicken in my chicken salad.
Yeah.
And so, like, both of us are just having this commentary, going back and forth about the chickenless chicken salad.
Well, did you ask him what that means at the restaurant?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet, because this vegan bitch, I shouldn't say bitch, this vegan girl was sitting behind me. And I've always noticed most vegans are very overweight. Very,
really?
Very overweight. Yes.
Wow. Why is that?
Believe it or not, they don't just eat vegetables all day.
Really?
They find all kinds of other things to eat.
Yeah.
But
what is this? Oh, friggin' motorcycle.
Motorcycle.
Yeah. I know. We get distracted, but you know, you never hear it on the microphone, so that's
it's
good.
It's ADD, yeah. Sam and Susie. Huh?
Yeah, I know.
But so this fat girl behind me is like, oh, chicken, this chicken salad's unbelievable. She's like jamming it into her face. And I'm like, well, what's in it? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, don't you want to know what you're eating? You know, you're probably eating some kind of, like, awful processed nastiness, mm-hmm. You know, that it would have been just better just to eat the fucking chicken.
Yeah.
But she's like, it's so good. You'll just absolutely love it. It tastes exactly like chicken salad. I'm like, well, are you a vegan? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, how long have you been a vegan? She's like, my whole life. I was like, well, how do you know what a chicken tastes like then?
Yeah.
How do you have anything to compare
good
it to?
Good question. There you go.
You know, because I was, believe it or not, I was a vegan for many, many, many years.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Starting when I was 8 years old, my sister went on a road trip with my grandpa from New York to Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. And I was having veal for dinner with my mom when she came back. Mm-hmm. And my sister was like, do you know how that veal was made? And I was like, no. And she's like, they take a little baby cow that's super cute, and then they shove it in a crate. And then he can't move, and he's just moo, moo, and he can't get out of the crate.
That's what she told you?
And as I'm like about to put the fork in my mouth, and my eyes are welling up with tears, I'm like, no, really? And my mother's just like, shut up and eat your dinner, Susie. And I refused to eat it after that. And then I stopped eating meat. I stopped eating fish. I wouldn't eat cheese or milk.
Really?
And that went on until I was 18.
But now, let me ask you this. What's wrong with the cheese and milk? I mean, they don't have to hurt the animals for that.
They don't have to hurt the animals for it, but still, like, the conditions. I started really just getting kind of crazed about it. And that's why I became, like, student or president of my Students Concerned About Animal Rights Club at boarding school. Just the conditions that they keep the animals in to make these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just not good. And they just kind of, like, force the or fill the animals with all kinds of hormones and things. It's just not natural the way it all goes out. I mean, if I had a cow in my backyard, mm-hmm. I would have probably consumed the milk.
Yeah.
But But yeah, I totally went crazy with this, and I would protest McDonald's. Like I would organize marches, and we would just picket. We would go to places that sold fur, and we would picket outside those places. We would go to circuses and protest the circuses. I was a real fanatic at the, for many years.
Wow.
And now I've got fur coats, and I eat anything. I ate moose yesterday.
Did you really?
I marinated a moose.
Where did you get a moose? Moose meat?
In the freezer of the people I nanny for.
Really?
He shot a moose.
God. What, did that taste like chicken?
No. It's really good. It's really good. It's very lean.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
Wow.
So I marinated it in like half a bottle of wine.
I could never eat weird things, you know?
You wouldn't even... If I prepared you a moose
right.
and like marinated it correctly and grilled it like I did yesterday...
Yeah. No, I'm sure.
You would have no idea that it was anything different than like a steak.
Yeah, I'm sure. So it tastes similar.
It tastes very similar and looks similar and it's... I don't know. It's the same kind of animal. And it's not gamey at all. But but yeah, so I was eating... I went from being a vegan eating chickenless chicken salads to eating moose.
So, yeah, vegans don't eat fish either.
Nope.
Now, what's the reasoning there?
You know, they don't want to kill anything.
Oh, that you're killing the fish. Okay. But if you don't kill it, another fish is going to kill it. So, what's the difference?
Well, how do you know?
Because usually fish get eaten by other fish.
Well, we're running out of fish, too.
Okay. And
which is unfortunate.
I don't know. People panic too much about this shit. I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
No. I think there's plenty of fish in the sea, as they say.
All right. Well, global warming is not really... It's not getting any colder out there.
No, that's for sure.
It's kind of freaky, all the things that are going on with the environment. It really...
I know. But right now, what worries me more is the economy.
Who gives a fuck about the economy? Worry about the environment.
I do. I mean, the fucking market is falling like 500-700 points every day.
Well, get your money out. Invest in gold.
I mean, I'm telling you, like, you know, I followed Google and Apple because I had their stock. And currently, it's about... 50%. It's half of what it was. Can you imagine a company losing half of its value like over several months? And you're talking about Google is hundreds of billions of dollars.
It's almost a Google.
Yeah.
It almost it's not a Google anymore.
You know, yeah, so
what is that number, a Google?
It's one with 100 zeros behind it.
Well, now it's not, it's half a Google.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I know, but it, you know, and it's scary because you don't know how long it's going to last, you know, and I don't know how much. It's just like a storm.
Well, it's cutting gas prices. That's nice.
Yeah, but everything else
makes
is getting cut too, you know.
You're like
gonna have,
what?
Well, the thing is this, is that what happens
like,
is...
Like, as far as I'm concerned, it hasn't affected me.
Okay, but it will.
How?
Because what happens is this, look, it's like a chain reaction, okay? But let's say there's high unemployment.
Okay.
And let's say your boss loses his job. Okay. Then he can't hire you.
He already quit his job.
Okay. But he can't. But let's say, I'm not talking about you. I mean, specifically about this guy. Okay. But usually, if a guy loses his job, he's going to let the nanny go first thing, you know? And
usually the gardener.
Or the gardener, whatever, you know? But then these people have less work. They earn less money. They buy less. So then Target is losing money and
good.
Walmart is losing money.
Good. Corporate
and all
assholes.
That stuff. And they're not buying their stuff and they're not borrowing money. And so you see, it goes around through the economy and it trickles down to everybody. So, except on radio.
And me. And Susie.
Yeah,
Sam and Susie, you're going to be fine.
We're going to keep giving you entertainment even though the prices are high.
And we're free.
The incomes are low, no credit, no bullshit, and it's free.
So is now like a good time to potentially look into buying a house that's been like foreclosed on?
Probably, yeah. Except prices will probably go lower, you know. So it's all about expectations. That's what the market is, whether it's real estate or the stock market and stuff. It's based on expectations. And if
so I should buy some stocks when it gets right now.
Yeah, right now. Except expectations are that it's going to continue to drop. So what are you going to do, you know? But you have to wonder how much more is it going to drop. You know, when Google stock was like $730 and now it's like $320.
Per share?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Whoa.
That's really amazing. And, you know, so it's taken them that long. But you know what? Apple last week was 170. Now it's 80.
Shit.
So shit is happening really fast, you know? And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know. You lose so much of your value. I mean, the thing is, that's what the stock market is. It hardly ever reflects what really happens. You know, it's just based on people's fears and shit, you know. And the companies were overvalued, and now they're undervalued, and go figure out what the hell's going on. But you're reminding me we should have a guest waiting for us. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
LATalkRadio.com isn't just an internet address. It's the home of irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk. We say what we want.
Looking to sink your teeth into a mangy but juicy and delicious pet? Looking for a meal that doesn't come when you call its name? Try cat. Just in time for the annual Festival of the Cat, there are all kinds of ways you can serve them up. Break out the barbecue for cat burgers. Deep fry some furry feline cat legs. Or add some to your favorite veggies in a tossed tail salad. Time to discover what folks in Peru have known for years. Nothing is more screwed up than a meal made with tasty cat. Cat, it's what foreigners eat for dinner.
I dream and dream. It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
All right, then we're back with no guest, of course. Yeah, to those who've never listened to us before, this does happen sometimes.
That's because we need to confirm with them the night before.
Oh, shut up.
I told you, you know, you can't sit over there and just be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I don't have enough time in the day. I told you I'll do some things.
Okay.
So let me do some of these things.
You're handling the guests.
Booking them and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you handle that?
Yes.
I mean, I'll send you all the emails and you just...
Done.
Create yourself a schedule and...
Perfect.
All right?
Will you send it to the susie.latalkradio@gmail.com?
I'll send it wherever the hell I want.
Oh, no, you won't.
Is that
wherever the hell want, you mean.
Is that your email address? Go ahead, give it out again.
susie.latalkradio@gmail.com.
Sounds good.
.com.
Yeah, that tells a story.
Yes.
So, what are... A couple things I wanted to ask. What's going on with Franz now? Are you guys in touch or what's going on?
Oh, isn't that the story of the day? Yes, we're in touch and I'm gonna see him in New York in like 2 weeks, I guess.
You are?
Yes.
Wow.
And actually, I asked him yesterday if he wants to come. All right, so I fly into New York on a Thursday night and I get in there at JFK at like 5:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so I asked him if he wants to take a train to upstate New York and meet my mom and my grandparents. Well, he already met my grandma, but meet my mom and my stepfather. So that's an interesting step.
Yeah, and does he want to?
Well, see, that's the other annoying part. Like, he will have been in New York for like 2 months at this point. He's just like, oh, but it's a Friday night in the city. Like, I want to go out and play. I'm like, fuck you, dude. We'll be back in time to go out. Because trust me, I am not going to spend my 2 nights in New York City, like, sitting in upstate New York, like, you know, with my martini in hand.
Yeah.
We will be back in New York City in time to party for the entire evening. Have no fear.
Yeah.
So, I think I might kind of make him do that. But yeah, so I don't know how things are with us or what's going on. Mm. I think we're kind of nearing an end.
Yeah.
But we'll always just have that wonderful sexual attraction.
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, you're probably trying to beat a dead horse, you know.
I know. And then yesterday I was bored because he was kind of ignoring me on Facebook. We were instant messaging each other back and forth. And then he would ignore me for too long. So I was like, you know what? I deserve someone that's going to pay more attention to me. And so I tried to log on to my eHarmony account. And because what I had joined in the first place, I created a logon name that I can't even remember now. And then I used a password that I made sure that no one would ever guess, just in case someone found my logon information.
Yeah.
And now I locked myself out of the fucking account. So now I can't even go log on and look for hot dates.
But wait a minute. Every site has a... they'll send you the password if you have the right email address.
I know, but I created... I told you... I told you I joined eHarmony in my drunken stupor, you know, and that's why I ended up putting Muslim down accidentally and all these other things. I put down an email address that doesn't even exist.
Really?
Yes.
Jeez.
So now if I say, like, I forgot my password, they're like, okay, we're going to send it to the email address that you registered with us.
Yeah.
And that email address doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, just talk... I mean, just call him or whatever, but, I mean...
I don't care that
much.
Are
you paying for this every month?
No. I got a year subscription. Or maybe a 2-year subscription. I don't remember what I got. But so I paid like the flat fee. Actually, I didn't even pay it. I paid for it with someone else's credit card.
I'm sure, yeah. Or you wouldn't have paid a year in advance,
no.
I'm sure.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
You're such a weasel.
Hey, at least I don't go to a doctor to get a boot to go to the amusement park.
Well, we didn't do that on purpose.
Well, you were telling me that in the future you want to do that.
Yeah.
You think the doctor's just going to give you a fake boot?
No.
Actually, you know what? My sister's a doctor. I could probably get a fake boot. I'll see if she could send us two.
It'll help, you know. Or just come in a wheelchair or something.
Oh, definitely. The wheelchair is the best.
Yeah.
That's so wrong on so many levels.
I know. It really is.
So I want to tell you about this kind of game that's going on November 1st through the end of November. It's called Catch and Release. you can't play, but I get to play.
Really? Why is that?
Because it's a biking game.
Oh, okay.
So basically, everyone has to register on this website, and the guy who's doing the game, who's running it, mm-hmm. Is making everyone license plates for their bike. Mm-hmm. Mine's going to be La La Gypsy, because that's like, I don't know, my alias.
Okay.
So if anything ever pops up from like La La Gypsy, that's me. But so everyone gets a license plate on their bike, and they've got to like register if they live in like West LA or like Central LA or the East Side. And pretty much you have to make spoke cards, which, you know, they could identify you in some way. And, right. you know, it also expresses your creative abilities. And then you laminate them, and then you keep them on your person. You have like, I don't know, 15 or 20 of them. And basically you have to, you know, on your way to work or on your way to school, if you see someone who's playing this game as well, you have to catch them and you've got to tag them.
Oh,
and then
really?
Then you get one of their spoke cards.
Uh-huh.
And it goes for the entire month. And, like, the person has to be on a bike. They can't be, you know, just walking down the street or something and you tackle them. They've got to be, like, riding their bike when this happens. And it just gets kind of crazy if, like, two people see each other, like, on opposite sides of the street, and then they try and cross and, like, get each other. You know, it's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole point system involved, because I'll be on, like, my fast road bike. If I see someone that's on a beach cruiser and all of a sudden I go and I catch them, you know, I won't get as many points as if I get someone that's on a road bike as well.
Oh, I see. But how do they know what kind of a bike it is when you tag them?
We all know. Because we register what kind of bike we'll be riding for the most part.
Okay.
So, but isn't that fun?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like an adult little scavenger hunt or like hide and go seek or something.
Yeah.
But
I wonder how many people are actually going to do that.
Oh, trust me. We've got thousands of people in this biking community that I pass on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
just riding my bike around town or just riding my bike to school or to all of our biking events.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to get pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And it's also in an effort to make people ride their bikes a little bit more than usual.
Yeah.
You know, so nowadays I won't be riding my or driving my car. I will definitely take my bike just so I can be part of the game.
Nice of you.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Nice of me. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, what I was thinking is, why don't you take your bike in your car down here where you over the hill, and then you can ride it to here. You can park somewhere and then ride it to here because you like to ride the bike, but you don't want to go uphill on that steep.
I don't mind going uphill.
Mulholland. No?
No, I'll take that. I'll go uphill.
No,
up
but you
hill.
said, like the other day, you said you're right, it's too steep or something.
Well, it depends on how I'm feeling in the morning.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling very peppy, that hill's no problem.
Really?
If I'm feeling miserably hungover and awful, that hill will kind of kill me.
Yeah, you got to be in great shape. I mean, I admire that. You
Thank
know,
you.
I could never
Thank
do
you.
That.
Yes, you could. You could quit smoking.
I wouldn't even attempt it.
Actually, the last time, exactly a year ago, I had quit smoking again when I had moved to Los Angeles.
Mm.
You know, it's cyclical for me. I go back and forth and I smoke and then I quit. But so I had just quit, and it was right before we were doing our Dark Century, which is a 100-mile bike ride in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started doing, I think I reached like mile 60, and I just started focusing on my breathing on the straightaway, and it was just like pedaling. Like, I got really, really, really into the zone. And
really?
I just kind of, it was the most intense feeling ever, just like my breathing and how deep the oxygen can get really into my lungs and how wonderful I felt. I mean, I felt high.
Really?
Just doing that.
Wow.
Which is what I guess a lot of people that are like adrenaline junkies, and I guess that's the feeling they normally get.
Yeah.
But I mean, it took like pushing myself to that extreme limit to actually get that feeling.
Wow.
So your lungs are not beyond repair, my dear.
No, but it's not just the lungs. It's the muscles and everything, you know.
The muscles are easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They perk right up and get back into shape so quickly.
Yeah.
And especially if you're a guy, like you have it so easy.
I don't know what...
Men that get... Yeah, you'll lose fat and you'll build muscle like so quickly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You say that like you care, and then I just can tell that you don't.
Yeah, I don't really care, no. Because I know I'm not going to do it. I don't like to exert myself too much. I'm a Taurus, you have to understand. It's hard to move a Taurus, you know? We're like a big, thick bull standing on Earth. On the Earth, and that's it, you know? You can't move us very easily.
What month is Taurus?
May.
May what?
May 10th.
My mom's May 1st.
Oh, really?
Is that a Taurus too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess she's a bull too.
Yeah. It's a very earthy sign.
You're not earthy at all.
No.
No.
Fuck you. Okay, but we do. We are going to have an astrologer calling next week.
Okay.
And she's going to do our charts for us. But you're going to have to send me your birth information and stuff, you know.
Ooh, she's going to do ours for us?
She's going to do charts, and then she's going to call in. Yeah, and I've spoken to her, and maybe she'll have her own little bit once a week on our show, and she can do astrology and stuff.
Yeah, like that, yeah, you know? That'd be really cool.
I know. Like, I don't really believe in it, but, you know, what the hell, it's fun.
It's like a fortune cookie, and, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a little more than that. I mean, because sometimes they're very accurate, you know, so...
But a lot of the times it's like stuff that's so broad.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like I have so many different personalities that it's just like whatever, like someone could say anything and it would apply to me at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I do have like multiple personalities.
Yeah. But maybe they're looking for something that's dominant, you know, about your personality or.
I think everything that comes out is dominant. Just depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else? What else should we deal with today?
I don't know. I mean, I was really expecting this guest to show up. And, I mean, there's still plenty to talk about. I just don't know. Like, Angelina Jolie is on the cover of W Magazine, breastfeeding.
Ooh, really?
So they're showing part of her breast down there. Yeah. And that's supposed to be a big deal. So, I don't know.
How's it look?
Yeah. They're not showing the picture. They're not showing the picture.
So the cover has not come out yet?
Yeah. But apparently, they said, I forgot about this, but she caused a stir when she wore a white nursing bra underneath her tank top on the cover of People magazine after she and Pitt welcomed daughter Shiloh. So I guess she likes to show her breast or whatever. But
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I know.
Speaking of showing breasts, remember a long time... What?
Are we speaking of that?
Someone's here.
Yeah?
Is that our guest?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Come on in.
Then I won't talk about breasts anymore.
Yeah. That's cool.
Hi.
Good morning to you. Okay. We're going to take just a brief break so we can get our guest all situated. We'll be back right after this.
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
it's
you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not after love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Wow. I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and a short break. And our guest is here. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Sorry about that. I was lost in traffic out there.
Yeah, that's L.A. for you. You know, how far did you have to come? What part of
town? Well, I live on the west side.
On the west side.
And I got busy this morning. I picked up a new murder case. I'm actually an investigator. And I just lost track of time, so I had to jump on my motorcycle and roll out here. So.
Really?
Oh, that was you on the motorcycle?
That was me going back and forth.
Oh, we heard it. We're just like, what is it? Oh, that's a motorcycle.
That was
yeah,
me.
Yeah, maybe that was him, yeah. So, please introduce yourself.
My name is Gil Contreras, and I'm an investigator, security consultant, former police officer, award-winning journalist. I actually did a show at KPFK, won a Golden Mic. I'm a writer. I'm working on a book. I'm working on a second book on this murder case that I just picked up, and I'm just finishing up a book called The Chick's Guide to Man's World, and it's kind of, you know, helping women profile men the way kind of, you know, law enforcement people profile criminals.
Wow,
that's
very
brilliant.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the book, but we'll get to that in a minute. So you're a private investigator.
That's correct.
What do you investigate?
I do, I do specialized stuff. I don't follow, you know, spouses around and stuff like that. Mostly criminal cases, civil cases. I find people, locate people, civil matters. Done security consulting for Girls Gone Wild for the past couple of years. I helped them set up some security protocols and stuff. So really? I like to stay busy out there doing stuff, but and not just, you know, I don't like to do, you know, cheating spouses and things like that.
Yeah, except that I saw on your website that it does say something about infidelity and stuff like that, right?
Well, you know, I do get those calls.
You do.
And, You know, I've put a couple of ads on Craigslist, and you know, I got some interesting responses.
as you usually do with Craigslist.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a lot of demand for cheating spouses.
Well, yeah. I'm not that amazed, but just the number of women that are willing to actually spend a money, because it's a significant amount of money to really do that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes more than one person. It takes some planning. It takes a lot of background. It takes surveillance and following people. And if you've ever seen the show Cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
It takes them weeks to get a 15-minute segment show on TV. So it's not that easy to do, and it can be really, really costly.
Mm.
But I do everything. I do background checks for companies. I do pre-employment background checks, security screening. But the area I like to go to is just kind of doing backgrounds and helping women kind of make better selection on people they're considering as mates. And I think there's things that women don't really think about because they get so emotional about it that they kind of lose their objectivity.
Right.
And then when they end up,
And
when they end up in a relationship with a guy that, turns out to be kind of a jerk later,
right.
They go, wow, what happened? He changed. And he didn't really change. It's just you overlooked you overlooked that part of it because you were so
all the warning
feelings.
Signs.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So, okay, so you mainly do these kind of things. Now, how do you check a background of a person?
A lot of stuff is public information now.
Right.
And
do you have to have their social security number?
No.
Okay.
No. All I really need is a name, a phone number, an address, and just some basic information. Like, I'll interview you about what you know about the person, and I'll find everything. I mean, everybody's stuff is so everywhere these days.
Yeah.
It's really hard
to
hide.
No privacy anymore, huh?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And, people tell me, if you go to my website, which is criticaldefense.info, if you go there, my photo's there, my cell phone is there. But, and people say, aren't you a little bit afraid? And,
mm-hmm.
If you just Google my name, Gil Contreras, you'll find everything.
Yeah.
Stuff I've written,
exactly.
I used to write a column. It's just there. So,
yeah.
I'm just, I take precautions, in my home and stuff.
Right.
You've got
surveillance cameras everywhere.
I'm not trying to hide from anyone. And, it's hard to hide now in today's society.
That's true. That's true. And do you also look for missing people and things like that?
I don't really do a lot of missing persons. I mostly do civil stuff, corporate, at the corporate level for corporate clients. And criminal cases. I've done some, did some police misconduct stuff. Helped out with one of the Rampart shootings, a few years ago, mm-hmm. when that was hot. Because of my law enforcement background, my area of expertise is kind of law enforcement procedures and, how cops work and think. And that's how I got the case that I'm working on now.
Wow. Interesting. So you used to be a cop here in LA?
Yes, I was.
Really? For how many years?
Seven, 8 years, and just kind of got tired of the politics of law enforcement and thought I could do, better doing training and consulting as
really?
As
I was
a
military
guy.
Police for 2 years.
Oh, I was served in the military. I was MP also.
Very nice, very
really?
Nice.
So there's a lot of that going on, politics and stuff like that?
Oh, well, I mean, just that, it's like any corporation.
Right,
Police department, is like a church. There's no secrets there. And cops have huge egos.
Mm.
There's a lot of infighting and stabbing in the back and for who gets promoted and who gets the special assignment and who gets the overtime detail. And it's silly. It can get really silly.
Yeah. That
sounds like a bunch of little schoolgirls.
I say that, cops are worse than high school girls. I'd rather deal with a group of high school girls than a group of cops any day.
Oh, man.
So it appears from what you're saying that you focus more on women and helping women out? Is that what?
Well, a few years ago, I was writing a column. I used to write for LatinoLA.com, and I wanted to write a column about dating because, all my female friends have, they ask me the same question as, like, what in the world do you guys even want?
Yeah.
and it was interesting when I started to just kind of interview my female friends, especially the ones who were, like, 40 and over and still single or relative, new to being single again.
Mm-hmm.
They had the same question, and so guys are really basic. We're really so easy to understand.
Yeah, very straightforward.
Exactly. We're straightforward. We're very easy. We're very easily led astray. And
Did you hear that, Susie?
Yes. And the my ears are...
and the reason women have such a hard time understanding us is because they're viewing us through a female prism. Mm. So what I thought would be helpful, and I started to write an article, and when I got to 50,000 words, you know, my buddy said, geez, that's not an article, bro. That's a book. but that's how it started. It started just trying to write an article about, you know, If you're going to look for a male partner, mm-hmm. then here's a way that you should look at it in a way that you haven't really been taught because you're looking at it from a female perspective. And if you continue to try to pick a male mate from a female perspective, you're going to kiss a lot of frogs trying to find a prince.
I see. Okay, that makes sense, right? Mm. You've been kissing frogs
for a long time. I've been kissing frogs for many moons now. In fact...
Yes.
Oh, there's a frog there.
I tattooed one on my back. Get so many damn frogs.
Yeah. Wow. So this is amazing. So how long have you been doing this? How long have you had your company? You said it's called Critical Defense?
Criticaldefense.info is my website. Okay. And, I started it, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. I've been working as a consultant and trainer to people, you know, for the last, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years. I've mostly been self-employed since I left law enforcement. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I like working for myself. I like getting up and setting my own schedule. I like to do what I want to do first. There's a way that I work,
right.
And it's like get out, get to the marina, do my morning walk, have a cup of coffee, listen to my iPod, whatever I'm just, you know, music or other stuff,
right.
And then get my head where I need it to be, and then start my day, whatever I'm going to do. And I'm a single dad, so I'm raising my daughter.
Oh, nice. Now, So you do this, do you have any people working with you, or it's pretty much you, right?
No, I have people. I have, I have an admin assistant she's becoming my, you know, she knows how I think, and so if right. I give her something, she'll do stuff, and if she finds stuff, she'll go, oh, Gil would do this, Gil would do that, and so she, you know, when she brings it back to me, it's exactly what I would have done, and those kind of people are invaluable.
She's like your little apprentice.
Well, I don't know about apprentice, but she's, you know, she's certainly my, my right-hand person. And then in addition to that, I just have an array of cops, law enforcement, security people that I've known for years.
Mm.
And so depending on the gig, I get calls for protection for parties and private events. So I just what do you want? You want guys with guns? No guns? You want them in uniform? Do you want them in a suit and tie?
Mm.
Do you want rock and roll kind of guys, or do you need low profile, military Delta type guy? You know, tell me what you need, and I have the resources to pull them in.
Yeah, wow,
that's great.
So, what were you doing with the Girls Gone Wild? You said you've been doing that gig for a couple of years. What's going on there?
Yeah, in 2005, they found my resume on Monster and called me over, and they were trying to get, they were having some problems, internal problems, really. A company like that sells something on TV through an 800 number on a website,
mm-hmm.
You have a lot of customers giving you credit card information.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And so we had a call center with, over 200 employees, and, they hadn't set up real security protocols. So there was some incidents of, identity theft, credit card fraud and stuff from the people that worked there.
Right.
And so I came in and, just kind of helped them set up some security procedures, set up a background system, fired some people, and, set up some hiring standards and just basic stuff that they didn't have before.
Mm.
But nothing, most of my stuff is just, at the corporate level, administrative. Yeah. When I told my cop friends, hey, I'm working for Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, my God, how cool, what a lucky guy. How'd you get that job?
And you've probably never seen any of the girls.
No, I never have.
Did you get any free videos?
Got videos. Got a bunch of DVDs.
Excellent. Love the perks.
Well, yeah. So, when I think of a private investigator, I'm thinking of someone sitting in their car following somebody and stuff. You've obviously had to do that, right?
You do that. And, if you're doing workman's comp cases for a government agency or, mm-hmm. The spouse thing, you're going to end up sitting in a vehicle somewhere with a cup of coffee, watching for somebody who's gone in and then waiting for them to come out to see where they're going to go.
Yeah.
I've done some of that. I don't really like that.
Yeah.
I'd rather be pouring through reports and coroner's reports and police reports and trying to figure out what did they leave out? What did they miss? Why did they come to this conclusion when it should have been this other conclusion?
I see. So, and that's what I wanted to discuss is that, you're working on a murder case, you said, right?
That's correct.
Okay, now how do they, why would they bring you in? Obviously, the police have their own investigators and stuff. Why would they use your services?
Are you like an independent contractor? Or for the family?
It's generally a family member or a friend or an attorney.
Okay.
You know, generally, you know, when a guy like me gets a call, it's because, you know, they've exhausted all the official kind of methods, and they've either come to a conclusion that the family doesn't agree with, or somebody knows it didn't happen that way, but the police department decided, here's how it happened, and we're going to make, and we're only standing there, and that's that. We won't, you know, we won't take anything, any other thing into consideration.
Right.
And it's kind of what happened with OJ. You know, the lead investigators made a decision about how it all went down, and they dismissed a lot of evidence of different things. Mm. And as a result, they put on a really poor case. And, you know, OJ was in Florida chipping golf balls when he should have been sitting on death row.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. So you've helped investigations too? I mean, in other words, if the police are locked in on that particular theory that they have, would they change their mind if you bring some new evidence?
Generally, no.
No, huh? Wow.
No.
So it's more for the sake of the family to know that this is the actual truth and not what they're telling us.
Right. And you know, sometimes law enforcement officers make mistakes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they think something and they're wrong. And
they're human.
Exactly. And, you know, I've had cases where there was somebody in custody and I was interviewing the victim for the attorney, for the criminal defense attorney. And, you know, I was reading through the report and I saw that the detective, he wrote that the DA wanted an interview with the victim about the gun specifically that was used in the crime. So I'm reading this and the detective, and in my opinion, you know, was kind of lazy. So he did the interview by phone. And so he runs just a one paragraph, interviewed victim by phone, victim stated the suspect used a blue steel 2-inch semi-automatic handgun. And I thought, wow, you know, civilians don't talk like that.
Yeah.
That's how we talk, but they don't talk like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not what he said.
Yeah. And you need to be with the person to see like their reaction, obviously.
So I went and I talked to the person myself, and he was a juvenile, so his parents were present, his mom was present, and you know, I just started talking about, you know, the case itself and what happened to him. And then I got to, you know, before I asked him any questions, I said, you know, it's really important that you tell the truth because someone's in custody now. Someone's locked up. And so the truth is really important right now.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this gun. And as soon as I said gun, he looked down. You know, he started to break eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went back and forth a little bit. And pretty soon his mom could see that he was lying. And
really?
She called him by name and she said, look, you better tell the truth, and you better tell this man the truth right now.
Mm.
And he looked up, and I said, did you see the gun? And he said, no.
Really?
He said, I never saw a gun. He said, you know, when the detective called me, he was kind of leading me.
Questions.
He'd say, was it light or dark? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, it was dark. Do you think it was dark? Because it was dark already. It was nighttime. Do you think the gun was dark and that's why you didn't see it? And the guy said, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it was questions like that. So after I completed my interview and I put it into a report form and gave it to the attorney, he was able to get the other kid released from custody and back to his parents. You know, that's the thing that I like to do. I like to step in and use my expertise where the officers either by accident or by design made a decision about who's guilty and then just went straight forward anyway when it's, you know, when it was inaccurate.
Yeah. Wow.
I saw this on Law & Order last week.
I don't watch a lot of TV. So.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, and if this would get you in trouble, you don't have to answer, but the LA Police Department has gotten a lot of bad rap, right? You know, about corruption, about, you know, the Rodney King case, the, you know, there was the Rampart part that you brought up. Do you think that the LA Police Department is any different, any worse than other police departments in the country?
Well,
I mean, is there like a basis to that?
I think there's, you know, the LA Police Department has had its problems. But it's by no means, you know, a police department full of racist, lying cops.
Right.
You know, most police officers in most agencies in most cities, certainly on the West Coast, are arresting the right people for the right crimes.
Mm.
And, you know, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. And, you know, when the times when I've needed law enforcement on a break-in at my house or, you know, they were always professional and came, and that was before they even knew I was a cop.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, they just, I got the respect and they were concerned about what happened to me and, you know, what could they do to get my property back. And
yeah.
So, But there, it's like any other kind of organization. You know, you look at the Catholic Church and you could say, are all priests this? You know, or you look at teachers and you say, are they all molesters? Or, you know, every profession has their few, but those are few and far between. Yeah. For the most part, they're doing a really good job. And I think Chief Bratton has done a really good job and has been a good addition to that department.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah, because...
he's a friend of Michael's.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Oh, she's got a friend who knows everybody who's anybody, so...
Oh, okay.
Really? Wow.
Actually, he was very good friends with his father.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Jeez, wow. Yeah, she's been around, I'm telling you.
She doesn't look that old, though.
Thank you.
Well, so, I mean, you know, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, in my experience, when I had to deal with police, and it was 100% of the times a moving violation or something... They've been nothing but extremely courteous to me, you know?
Right.
So that's why I don't understand why some people hate cops, you know? And it's probably the people that usually have something to lose if a cop catches them.
Well, I mean, you know, where you see a lot of, animosity towards law enforcement is in higher crime areas.
Mm.
You know, and generally in a higher crime area, it's not people from the outside coming in to do crimes in that community. It's people who live
within,
there.
Huh?
And it's the children of the parents of the, you know, who are doing those crimes. So when you come in and you're working that area, you know, people don't like to see their children, you know, standing next to your police car with their hands on their heads,
right,
or sitting on their knees with their hands on top of their heads. You know, all of a sudden parents are, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, but before that, you can't find them when all the guys are standing on the street, you know.
You can't
find the parents. So, you know, you have to take everything with a grain of salt, especially as the law enforcement officer. You don't worry about that. You don't worry about, you know, who's going to think what if I do this. You don't worry about that.
Yeah, exactly. You got to do your job.
You do it to the best that you can. And I think for the most part, you know, the LAPD and sheriffs and everybody else around Southern California anyway are doing a really good job. I got a lot of friends that are still cops, and, you know, they're not bad guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are obviously proud of having been a policeman here and stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It made me an expert in understanding human behavior.
Mm.
And that's kind of where, you know, my Chick's Guide for Man's World, even though it sounds kind of funny and I wrote it, you know, it's not a technical police manual sounding kind of book. And it's pretty straightforward. And I decided when I wrote it, I was going to use guy language to describe guys. And, you know, some women might be offended by what I say and the terms that I use.
Some might not.
and some might not. But I was, you know, I was thinking, well, I want it to at least be honest. And, you know, and if they can't accept that, then that's fine. And, you know, some will love it, some will hate it. And the people that I've had read it, and I've had several women at different age levels, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different educational levels, you know, review it for me just to get some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been about 50-50. They either love it and think it's really funny and helpful, or they just hate it and think I'm a misogynist.
Yeah. Well, we always have to deal with that, you know? I mean,
to some degree, I think.
Why would a misogynist go out of his way to write a book for women?
Well, I mean, guys,
language.
I have four sisters, you know, and, you know, one of them is more college educated than one of the other ones. And so I had the least educated and the most educated read the thing for me. These are my sisters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the least educated one, you know, thought it was really funny. And thought that, you know, she could see a lot of herself in kind of what I wrote about women.
Mm-hmm.
And thought, this is, you know, it's, you know, had me look at it in a way I hadn't thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other educated sister, you know, she just looked at the cover and said, you know, I'm offended by the use of the term chick.
You know?
So, I mean, that's kind of the dichotomy. But, you know, from my perspective, there's no such thing as bad press. So if they love it or hate it, I really don't care either way.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, all this politically correct stuff, you know, it's just, it's going a little too far, I think. You know?
Yeah, I'm not huge on political.
We don't pussyfoot around anything.
Not on this show, anyway.
Well, neither do I.
So. Yeah. Well, this is very interesting. Have you ever been confronted by anybody you were investigating?
No, not really.
No, huh?
No
James Bond action or anything like that.
Do you carry a gun?
No, if it calls for that, but. You know, if I'm doing something that requires, you know, quote, guns, I have good trained people with guns to do. You know, a person who does, like, say, executive protection or whatever, having the biggest, most armed guy isn't really the best guy for you. Mm. You know, the best guy is the guy who can think, who can profile, who can do threat assessments, who can say, okay, you're going from LA to Phoenix. What do I need to consider to keep you safe, to get you there, protect you there, and get you back?
I see.
And you know, someone who can plan, has the right context for people on both sides.
Big guys wearing the black suits, anyway, they can't move fast enough to do, and they can't do shit.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, and you know, and you've seen this, you know, it was someone, you know, you can't get anyone more protected than the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. When Ronald Reagan got shot, he had guys with machine guns standing around him. Mm-hmm. The absolute truth is, if someone wants to kill you and they're willing to exchange their life to do it, they can get to you no matter who you have standing
around
you. Mm. There's going to be a lag time from the time you see something, your brain processes that information, and then causes you to react. And it's in that lifetime is where the, you know, the thing is going to happen. So, you know, I like to be smart. Guns aren't that important to me. I'm not a quote gun nut. You know, I've got a couple, but small little handguns, and that's, you know, and that's just for person. That's if you're, you know, attacking me and we're up close and personal. I need to stop you if I can't. If I can't physically control you, I need to be able to stop you.
Right.
And if it takes that, then it's that. But you know, in terms of being out there, and I don't walk around with one, you know, and worrying about. You know, am I going to get robbed? Is someone going to try to take the car?
I can't live in fear like that.
No, and I don't.
Yeah. Well, this has been fascinating. Susie, any more questions before we wrap up? Because we're almost out of time.
No, this was wonderful.
Okay. So your company is called Critical Defense, and it's at criticaldefense.info.
Correct.
Right? And it says, don't get caught behind the eight ball. What does that mean?
That means, you know, the eight ball is bad luck, you know, or something bad about to happen. So, you know, if you think something's about to happen and you need some advice or some whatever it is you need, give me a call.
Don't wait for something awful to happen.
Yeah, don't wait. Call me and I'll tell you if you're, you know, if your fears are founded or if you're, you know, don't need to worry about it.
Wow. It's amazing, you know, and maybe you should have him after Franz, you know, investigating what he does, because she's got a boyfriend she can't rein in at all, you know. And
I bailed him out of jail, and he's constantly getting tickets for bicycle-related offenses.
Okay,
yeah. Well, do you want to ask him about the time when they arrested him? You feel it was unwarranted?
When they ripped him off his bike?
No, when you said they gave him a ticket just for talking back to the officer.
So my boyfriend was arrested. You know, we're part of like a bicycle gang. We kind of like terrorize the streets of Los Angeles just with riding our bicycles.
Not a good choice of words for a girl.
I was gonna say I'd never heard of that gang, but.
We're not like a real gang. We just like to ride bicycles and we get together in large groups of people. And a lot of the times, like, we're drinking. You know, we've got like beer in our water bottle or something, which obviously it's illegal. You're not allowed to drink and ride. But, but so, I don't know, safety in numbers, we think we're fine. So the cops ended up like ripping him off his bicycle because he didn't have lights on his bike. He was on one of these tall bicycles that were two frames welded on top of each other. And the cops ripped him off and like they wouldn't let anyone like witness what was going on. They turned the floodlights on. They were like, get back. So then all of a sudden, you know, as soon as he gets like arrested or anything, like he's just a very quiet fellow. And he'll go along with pretty much anything. They gave him an obstruction of justice charge because the lady officer who was arresting him was trying to put his bracelet on, his ID bracelet, and it kept falling off because she was doing a crappy job doing it. And so they gave him an obstruction charge for that. And so he ended up having like a $15,000 bail for riding his bicycle with no lights, having an open container, and obstruction of justice for the bracelet. Now, do you think that's not like completely like...
Overreaction maybe? No.
And they had 11 cop cars.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, when cops use
excessive
when they use you know, the 148 interfering with my arrest or obstruction or whatever, mm-hmm. when they use that statute, you know, my experience is that it's because they're mad. So yeah. The guy, you know, your boyfriend or whomever, you know, did or said something or wasn't complying the way that they wanted him to comply, that's when you see that kind of thing.
Yeah,
the problem is. You know, the riding with no lights and the alcohol.
Yeah, there you go. They've already done, several things they're not supposed to do. Those are just ticketable
offenses, though.
Yeah,
but he got arrested for that?
He got arrested.
Oh, it's probably on the obstruction then, on the 148.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. No, he made him mad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know...
They were mad. They just didn't like the bikers being there in the first place, and they just picked him out and targeted him because he was the last one up the hill on a tall bike.
Yeah. All I know is that I would not mess with a cop, you know? I mean, if God forbid something happened, I was faced with it, I do whatever they tell me, and go along, and that's it.
But that's what he does do, and that's and you know, trust me, I know him. He'll go along with pretty much anything without talking back.
I mean, what I can tell you is, you know, for them to start, you know, holding people back and keeping them on this side of the lights, and you know, they obviously, you know, thought he should have been complying quicker or something. There's something that he did that, you know, cops are very black and white.
Yeah. They ended up dropping all of the charges in the long run. So
the DA did.
Yep. Yeah. Because they got about 300 complaints.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, from a policeman's perspective, is, you know, we don't care what the DA does.
Yeah.
Our job is
exactly. You need to keep the peace, and you know, I think for the most part, cops do a great job. You know, I support them.
I do too. But the situation, you know, we're in West Hollywood and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and all of these people are stumbling out of the bars, wasted, getting into their cars, like swerving off. And the cops are, they've got 12 cop cars around one bicyclist, you know, for having no lights on his bicycle. Ooh.
Yeah, that sounds like overkill.
It was definite overkill, but whatever.
Well, you never know who you deal with. You know, I think overkill is, it's better to err on the safe side than you know, not.
Well, I mean, on the other hand, you know, law enforcement guys are, you know, if nothing's happening and, you know, some guy gets into something and if he calls in and goes, hey, I got a 415 guy over here. I think he's, you know, I think he's been drinking. You know, they're going to rush over. Like, well, you know, maybe he'll fight. And maybe it'll get bigger and then we can use our sticks. And,
exactly. You know,
cops like, they like, I mean, you wouldn't take that job if you didn't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so you don't want to just drive around and take paperwork. Exactly. I mean, you don't want to be a secretary.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, well, Gil, you've been very fascinating.
Thank you.
Very interesting. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Apologize for coming in late. But,
No, don't worry about it. It's fine. But again, we're talking about criticaldefense.info, and go find Gil Contreras on there. This is corporate security.
And don't get caught behind consulting. The eight ball.
Yeah. Don't get behind the eight ball. Okay, thanks so much again, Gil.
Thank you.
And thank you, Susie.
We've got
a
Monday.
Great weekend. You're not going to be here tomorrow for our
Saturday?
Get-together?
Oh.
We have a get-together for all the hosts. If you can, come. If you can't,
I have to work at 5, but I think I can come.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. All right, everyone. So we'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.